counsel. A judge could have declined it, but the judge could have exercised discretion and said, yeah, you know, I think for the best of all, I'm going to let counsel come in, or I'm going to let you have standby counsel. What Judge Spector says is, no, you're done. You waive your right to counsel, you go pro se, that's it. You're done. That's an affirmative misinformation. And you can't have a valid, knowing, voluntary, and intelligent waiver of your right to proceed pro se under those circumstances. And for that simple reason, this court should reverse, because he was misguided in that decision. And it turns out the trial didn't occur for another 7 months. And so for Judge Spector to go, well, it's only 2 weeks away, I'm not going to allow you to come back later, things happen. Things get delayed, and that's what happened in this case.
Do you have any response to the points that the state just made in terms of what Silva says and doesn't say, and what the model colloquy says?
I think if you read through the model colloquy in Silva, there isn't going to be affirmative misinformation about what the law is. And that's what happened here.
So you think this is different than Silva?
This is different because Mr. Navarro asked a question. Can I change my mind? Judge Spector didn't say, yes, but there's no guarantee you'll get counsel appointed. She said, no, you're done. And that's wrong. You can't have a valid waiver based on wrong information.
I don't know. It seems like, I mean, he's asking a hypothetical question. What if I change my mind? And she's kind of giving a hypothetical answer. You know?
No, she didn't give a hypothetical answer. She told him, this is the law. No, you're done.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll disagree on how to interpret her comments, but that's certainly the way it appeared to me when I first read it. You're done. That's it. I mean, I highlighted it in my notes. With regarding the length of the sexual assault protection orders, that should be set by the predicate offense. I mean, that's how the legislature set it up. The fact that he may have sentences.
Do you think that makes a lot of sense, or the legislature just being kind of absurd to say that, you know, they get protection when he's in prison, but they don't get protection when he gets
This legislation, they're looking at it, we're thinking, okay, a man gets, he commits a sexual assault, he gets tried, he gets convicted, and he serves a sentence. They're thinking in the singular, because you can see it throughout the statute. They weren't taking into account the multiple offense policy when they were doing it, the multiple offense scenario. And if they want to change it to all, you know, 2 years after all sentences are imposed, then they should do that. But they didn't do that in this case. And they don't make it clear that it's all the sentences versus any type of sentence. And in that circumstance, the rule of lenity favors my client, and this court should remand to have those set based upon the predicate offense and not the entire sentence.
The sexual assault protection order, is that a criminal statute? I guess, is it? I mean, it's not.
I think it's separate from its RCW 790, 150.
Not sure if the rule of lenity would apply in those circumstances.
But. Well, in the criminal, it's still in the criminal context. It's in relation to a criminal offense, so I think it does. But, thank you.